You're listening to Gearing Up, an Everyday Carry podcast. This is a show that's dedicated to highlighting members and makers of the Everyday Carry community that are doing really awesome things. If you're into knives, gear, and talking about what's going on in the hobby, this is the show for you. Make sure you subscribe so you get new episodes whenever they drop, and follow Gearing Up Podcast on Instagram so you can join the conversation.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Gearing Up. This is the podcast where we talk about everyday carry stuff. Today, of course, no exception. Couple disclaimers before we get too far into it. I am on the road. So I think I've mentioned this before, but I'm trying to do a better job of maximizing my time, and this just makes sense. I'm driving. I've got quite a long trek today. I'm still have like 45 minutes, and I've already been driving an hour. Long story for another day, but that explains the difference in audio quality, and you know, if you hear the road noise, or if I sort of pause because I'm focusing on driving for a second for whatever reason, that hopefully that explains it. I'm also still kind of getting over whatever cold I had, so I'm a little congested-y sounding, so I hope that doesn't come up too much in this episode. But yeah, that explains some of the audio differences, and I think that's it for housekeeping. Let's jump into today's episode. First, I'd like to talk a little bit about some new acquisitions. I've not been getting a ton of new EDC gear lately. I know I talked about the sling bag a few episodes back, and I've got a couple other episodes in the can that I need to finish editing and get them out that talk about a couple of other things. So I'm going to save all of those. They're not necessarily EDC related, but I did get a nice mail call today. So I need to look back and figure out who this was on Threads that posted this watch. But I replied and I was like, hey, what model is that? It was a Casio. And it turns out it's the Casio LF20-WA8A or something like that. It's the LF20W. If you search that, you'll get close enough. And I was like, man, I really like that. Like, I want to grab one. And I was just thinking, oh, it's a Casio, it'll be fine. Apparently it's a popular Casio. And so what was like a $25, $30 watch, I mean, I couldn't find them on eBay for less than $50. Most of them were going between $75 and $80. And so I found them on Amazon and added them to my list. And then I also went to Casio's website and signed up for email notifications for the black, the gray, and the white. And it came in on stock. It came in stock on Amazon for the black one, so I went ahead and put in the order. And then I looked at it and I was like, this is gonna ship in late October. It's like, oh god. So I don't know how long that's gonna just sit there. I was like, but I'll leave it, it'll be fine, I'll get it when I get it. I'm in, you know, no huge rush. And then a few days later, like maybe 3 days later, I got a notification in my email that the white one was in stock on Casio's website. So I canceled my Amazon order after I put in the order on Casio and then canceled my Amazon order. I didn't really necessarily care what color I got. I didn't necessarily want one over the other. I think the gray one looks pretty sweet, but I have more recently stopped wearing my Apple Watch. I forget what version I have. I think it may be the 4 or the 5, but it was a stainless with the GPS built in and the mobile service and all that. I actually got it as kind of like a hand-me-down from my brother, and it worked really well and I liked it, but I just wanted to simplify. And so I've been rocking, the model number is something ridiculous, WS-1600H something or other, from Casio. And it's pretty cool because it'll let you do multiple timers, and it's got some little graphics on the screen that'll count down different intervals, and so visually it's really helpful. But this LF20W, I've really, really had my eye on, and so That came in today. I hadn't even checked tracking. I didn't care to. I was just like, it'll come when it gets here and it'll be fine. But I was headed out and I noticed up at the front door there was a box. So I went and checked it, and sure enough, it was it. And I spent 10-15 minutes just kind of playing through the menus and figuring out how to set it and all of that. And it's really nice because it's got multiple time zone support, which I'm really bad at time zones, so it's nice to be able to just hit a button a couple times over and see East Coast, West Coast, what time it is. And it's got the sort of classic analog watch display, but a digital version. Anyways, you Google it, you'll see it. It'll make sense. But really cool looking watch, a little bit smaller than I expected, which is a plus. I like that it's not super bulky. It's pretty thin, and I'm a big fan of it. So really enjoying this one. Again, it's only been a couple hours, but it's a really good looking watch, and definitely a fun one. So that came in, and then I think that's really about it. I don't know if I mentioned this on a recent episode, but the homie Kyle, K-like Kyle on Instagram, I had mentioned something in passing via one of his stories about a Data Crew pouch. And I was like, man, you know, he was selling a couple of them together. And I was like, man, I wish I could take the bundle off your hands. I don't really need the extra right now. And I was kind of grounded from spending anyways, so it's okay. And he was like, oh, man, no worries, you know. And then lo and behold, I checked my mail a few days later, and there's a random package from him in the mail. I had no clue what it was. I had completely forgotten about it. And then I open it, and that Data Crew pouch was in there. So blown away by the kindness. So Kyle, if you're listening, shout out. Always appreciate it. But that's relatively new, and I've been carrying that one a lot lately. And I guess the other thing, and I don't know if I've talked about these a whole lot here on the pod. I've posted about them on Instagram, but Fidget Things, great Instagram account, super cool maker. And that'll actually be my shout out this week. I'm going to talk about him if I remember towards the end of this. But I stumbled upon Fidget Things. Long story short, I went down the rabbit hole of trying to find like a mechanical key clicker, a keyboard key clicker. And I found his and checked it out and love it. And he has the 3D printed ones, and my kids love them. And it's nice to hand them something that was like $11 and I don't feel bad, and they get to feel like they're, you know, they get some of dad's EDC gear too. But I've carried around the brass clicker, and it's so nice. But I also decided to check out the chill pills that he has. And let me tell you, easily one of my favorite EDC purchases in a long time. I've talked a little bit about it on the pod, but I've been struggling with ADHD a lot lately, and I'm kind of just throwing out as wide a net as possible, with regards to like finding ways to better manage it. And I find that fidgeting helps a little bit when I'm really working on something and I need to focus on something and it's not something I care about or really want to do. So the chill pills are great. My current configuration of choice is I have a brass honeycomb. The extra dose is just black Delrin, and the bottom one is the plain Jane Smooth Ultim. And man, it's such a fun little combo. The weight and the colors and the textures and the just the overall feel of it and the pull of the magnets and all of that stuff is super satisfying. And so that's been something. Now I will tell you, if you don't have one of these and you think about getting one, definitely opt in for the dampening pads. I forget exactly what they're called on the website, but it gives you an option. It's a couple bucks, or maybe $5, and you get a pack. I think you get like two variations of material or types of material, whatever. But I actually put a dampener on the side of the Delrin one, the middle piece that connects to the brass, because that's like the loudest clacker It's heavy. It's metal. And so if I want some more feedback, I want something loud, I'll flip it over and you know, fidget with the Ultim side. But ultimately, the brass is easily my favorite part about it. So the fidget things, Chill Pill, has been a really fun addition to the carry. And it's just one of those things that I can kind of throw in my pocket and I'll almost forget that I have it. And then, you know, I'm waiting in line somewhere or I'm waiting on a call to start and my hands will start to wander and then I find it and it's a lot of flipping and clacking. And my wife's not the biggest fan of it, but she also understands and she's like, okay, whatever, you know, whatever helps. So that's, God, we're 10 minutes in. All right, I'm going to have to edit this down. But we're 10 minutes in. We're not even into today's topic. So if you missed the last episode, definitely go check it out. I talked a lot about the series that I'm putting together and why I'm doing it. So if you missed that, go listen. But today's episode is all about backup blades. I wanted to talk about why I carry a secondary knife or a backup blade. I wanted to talk about some of the solutions that they offer, or some of the problems that it solves when you carry a second blade. And then I wanted to share some of my personal favorite backup carries. So without further ado, let's just jump into that. So the idea of a pocket knife, I think we all agree, is pretty straightforward. We all carry one probably for pretty much the same reasons. And that's true for me too. Like I generally, when I get ready in the morning and I'm kind of loading out for the day, so to speak, I will usually pick two knives. What I would call my primary. It's like, hey, I like using this knife a lot. I like this knife for what it is. It does the job really well. It carries really well. It cuts really well, whatever the case. And then my secondary knife is usually just something I want to carry. So my primary is typically something that's you know, folder locking, fast deployment, one-handed open, all that stuff, just again for practicality. But my secondary, I let myself have a bit more fun with. And so what that ends up looking like usually is something like the Coke Corvid, I think it is, the small little friction folder, or the Notorious EDC Kingpin. Sometimes that's the primary, just depending on what I'm doing for the day, where I'm going. But yeah, or like the GEC 25, probably my most carried secondary blade, my most carried backup blade. I'm a big fan of it. It's small, it's not threatening, and it's just such a good looking knife. I could do a whole episode on the GEC 25. Not about any factual information, but just the fact that I love it so much. And I would just Google it for 40 minutes while you guys listen. That would not be fun. So let's redirect. So that's usually what my backup blade thought process is. I want to find something that I really want to carry. It's rarely a, I'm going to need a second knife for whatever. It's usually, I like carrying stuff. I think we all do, right? And so it may not always be the most practical solution. It may not always be the fanciest or the newest or the shiniest or whatever. Sometimes it's really just, you know, a knife that I haven't carried in a while. I want to give some pocket time. Great example, you know, today I'm carrying my Kaiser Yorkie. I have the thumb stud Yorkie. I've talked about it a lot. Easily one of my favorite knives. It was a gift from my wife. Okay, where was I? Fun fact, you cannot use this lav mic while you're charging it. So I juiced it up for a little bit, and here we are. So I was talking about a good example of a secondary backup knife today. So today I'm carrying the Kaiser Yorkie as sort of my quote-unquote main blade. And then for my backup, I've got my custom Pioneer from Brassworks. And it's not a knife I carry as my primary very often. I do sometimes, but I like it as a secondary because of the extra tools. And again, it's a little less threatening. Take out, doesn't have the quick deploy action, you know, all those things. So That's usually why that's usually how I choose my backup knife, and it varies day to day. And when I don't, so, and one other thing I should mention, I don't always select a backup blade. Sometimes my backup blade is just by default whatever is in the kit that I keep in my bag. So I've got the double wide admin from Nutsack in my bag, and it hops between bags, and there's usually a knife in there. I couldn't tell you what knife it is right now. I haven't opened it. I haven't needed it because I've been carrying a secondary knife lately. But I've usually got some form of blade in there, whether that's a blade as part of a multi-tool like my Leatherman, or you know, just a fun secondary knife that I like to toss in the bag. So you know, if I don't have a second knife on my person, I always have a backup blade in my bag. So I want to talk about a little bit around why do I carry more than one knife. Why do you maybe need to carry, or maybe you need to consider carrying, if you think it's ridiculous that people carry more than one knife, let's talk about that. But maybe you need to consider it. Just hear me out. So here's what I'm thinking. I carry a primary knife. Again, case in point, today's Laconico Yorkie from Kaiser. It's a super fun fidgety knife. It's the action on it is really well tuned, and so it's fun to fidget with. It's a good slicer. I love it for just EDC tasks in general. But sometimes I want to give a little harder use, and I like to take care of this Kaiser because, again, it was a gift, and it's a really attractive knife to me. And so I'm like, I don't want to completely screw up the coated blade or mar up the clip or anything like that. And so I'm a little lighter on some of my primary knives. And then the secondary knife, again, just a fun knife to have, and sometimes my harder use blade for the day. So it's technically, I still consider it a backup blade, but sometimes it sees a little bit more use, so maybe I guess that makes it a primary. I don't know. You work it out. But that's where I'm going with this, is sometimes I want a second blade because of what I know the day holds. Sometimes I want a second blade because I don't know what the day holds, and somebody may ask to borrow a knife. I don't always love handing over really nice blades to people, strangers or not. Sometimes they just don't know how to use a knife properly, and it scares me, and you know, as much for the person as it does for the condition my knife is going to be returned in. So I always like to have a second option, just in case anyone ever needs to borrow a knife. There's not any crazy you know, hey, here's my super fancy knife. Not that the Kaiser is a super fancy knife, but you guys get what I'm saying. So yeah, I tend to keep a backup blade because I want to have some options, and I want to have just some different levels of use between what I'm carrying. And then additionally, it's just nice to circulate some of the collection and give stuff a little bit of pocket time. And you know, this the Elementum. You guys know I love the Elementum. I talked about it a lot when it, you know, first kind of popped, and it's one that hadn't seen a lot of pocket time lately, and I decided to carry it as sort of a secondary. I was just like, I just want to give it some pocket time, and I fell back in love with it. I forgot how good the action was. I forgot how solid of a knife it is for about $50, and so in addition to having some options and having, you know, sort of my bases covered on different use cases, in addition to those things, I've also, you know, I'm rediscovering some of the knives that I really love. So it's a chance to again circulate the collection a little bit. But those are my reasons. That's my process. I'm curious to know, if you carry a backup knife, do you carry more than one blade? If you do, are your reasons similar or completely different from mine? I know a lot of people will secondary like a fixed blade, which I think is a great option. I don't have any fixed blades in the collection right now. I'm waiting on I'm waiting on the right version of whatever Eddie over at OEG cooks up, and the right timing. I need to get something from Eddie from a fixed blade standpoint. I want to have one of his, but otherwise I don't have any other fixed blades, so it would be my sole fixed blade. But I do understand the point in having a fixed blade as a backup knife, and maybe something that I look into a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, really, that's it. The backup blades was kind of what I wanted to talk through, and I wanted to talk about why I carry more than one knife and what my process is in deciding what that knife is, and, you know, why. Some of the reasons and use cases and some of the problems that it solves. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, I couldn't go this whole episode without saying the old saying, you know, two is one and one is none, right? And if you live by that with regards to EDC, your pockets would be very, very heavy. I don't live by that for much other than a knife. I try to keep a couple of knives accessible throughout the day, just in the event that I need one. And, you know, more often than not, I use my knife a couple of times a day. Not a whole lot, but it's always nice to have those options. So I'm going to pass the question to you guys. Do you carry a backup blade? If you do, why? What are you trying to solve with it? Why do you need a secondary knife? And in addition to that, what's your process like on deciding? How do you determine what the backup's going to be? Is there any criteria? Is it just, I'm picking two knives? Do you try to make it super different than the one you carry as a, you know, quote-unquote primary blade? Or do you make it almost the exact same because you like carrying that main blade so much? Let's carry a second one. I don't know. I'm curious to hear what you guys think. So that was this week's topic. That was this week's episode. This is Alphabet Superset episode 2, the letter B. And now for this week's shout out, I want to give a shout out to Fidget Things. If you are not following them, go check them out. Derek is making some really cool stuff, and I'm a big fan. I think the chill pills are great. All of the switches are really fun to mess with and fidget with and play with. And he's got every material that you could ever imagine for chill pills, for the switches, for just about anything. So I'm a big fan of what he's doing. And we've chatted a couple times on DMs and Instagram. He seems super cool. So really love what he's working on. Love his craft and dedication to all the parts and pieces he's making, and the thought that goes into them. So if you're not following him already, go check him out. But that does it for this week's episode. I will talk to you guys in the next one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe so you get new episodes every time they're released. And make sure you follow Gearing Up Podcast on Instagram so that we can stay in touch. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you next time. Peace.